In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
The Moon Club, September 15th, 2:36 a.m.
Right, they both ran through from the bar in this direction. He was 6 foot, she was 5 foot 5. Blind.
Paramedics do CPR on a young woman.
Oi, hang on a minute, where do you think you're going? There's blood everywhere here. You don't want your great big plates of meat tramping through. Go around the other way, please. Use the other door. Alan?
Yeah?
There's evidence needs photographing here before we lose it. Can you get that done for me?
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, Matty, you were saying?
Yeah. Wearing masks, latex. He was either Tony Blair or David Cameron. Witness couldn't tell the difference. She was Maggie Thatcher.
Oh, yeah, there's no mistake in her, that's for sure. Right, Joy, what you got?
4 bullet wounds, 2 at close range. From the angle of entry, I'd say the one to the head was first, and the rest are just making sure.
Well, how sure do you have to be?
How's our goth girl doing?
She's not. Time of death, 2:39.
It's like the OK Corral in here. What's happened?
Excuse me, DS Brooks?
Yeah, wait there, please. Thank
There's
you.
Another line in here.
Yes, sir. How can we help?
I'm the cleaner. Mr. Barnes. Stuart Barnes. Did you see anything, Mr. Barnes?
No, I got here for my shift. Let's not look at all this, then.
I went to talk to Helen, like I always do. And Helen is?
Helen Shane, the manager.
Right.
I always start in her office. I change the water for her flowers. That's where I've been. I heard the gunshot, so I stayed there.
Right.
I didn't know what else to do.
Right, so where is this Helen Shane now, Mr. Barnes?
This is her handbag. I found it outside the toilet. The strap's torn. And now I can't find her. I heard the gunshots, so I was terrified. If I hadn't hidden in the office,
Mr. Barnes, you did exactly the right thing. I need you to calm down right now and talk to one of our officers, if that's OK. Julie?
Yeah, definitely.
Julie, will you take Mr. Barnes' description of Helen Shane, please, and get it back to me as soon as you can? All right, we may have a hostage situation. I think she could be in real danger.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Barnes. Thank you very much. Take it easy. Right, we've got to end this before somebody else gets hurt.
Too late. Neighbourhood office. Guy and a girl wearing masks just shot the owner dead.
Matt and Ronnie stand beneath a strobing light in the dark club. A caption, Law. Shots of the characters in various scenes. Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler. Another caption, Order. Dominic Rowan as Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Thorne, Freema Agyeman as Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips, and Peter Davison as Director of CPS Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, TikTok, by Richard Stokes. Metro Drinker, Pimlico, 3:32 a.m. Matt interviews a customer.
So fast, and at the same time seemed to be happening in slow motion.
Right, and there was just the two of them?
Bloke. Well built, I guess. Skinny girl, nothing to her at all.
Are you sure there wasn't another woman? Helen Shane? 30-ish, short, brown hair, tattoo on the back of her neck.
She might have been in the car. They left in a silver car.
Did you catch the make?
Citroen or a Peugeot? Right.
Thank you. The uniformed officer will escort you.
Sir? 2 hits to the chest, point blank. What a mess.
Well, I'll add the silver car to the old description.
But why would they shoot him? I mean, the tills haven't been broken into.
Well, let's hope that's not a fake.
He points to a CCTV camera. At the police station, Natalie, Ronnie and Matt watch the monitor on Ronnie's desk. CCTV footage shows a man in a Tony Blair mask shooting the off-licence owner. An armed woman in a Margaret Thatcher mask is with him.
3 bodies in 30 minutes. I need a risk assessment from a CO19 unit as soon as.
OK.
And, boys, give me something in the next couple of hours. I've got the media already setting up camp outside, and Callahan wanted me to do a press conference at 7 for breakfast news.
Lab's doing blood analysis from the nightclub.
Soccer dusting for prints at the office.
Yeah, no one's turned up at Helen Shane's flat. Uniform are there. Can't say anybody does.
Fingers crossed she's still alive.
Natalie rewinds the footage.
Look at the way she's holding that gun. The recoil from that would knock her arm into her face if she fired that.
Gov, nightclub owner's just arrived. I've put him in one of the interview rooms. It's Helen Shane's brother.
In an interview room.
She's my twin. Not, identical. Looking for her.
Is there any reason why someone would target her specifically?
No, she's gone with everyone.
And she manages the club, yeah?
Yeah, we set up business together about 10 years ago. Can't believe we're still open, to be honest, but, you know, it's all down to her. She's got the brains.
So, she closes up alone, does she?
We've got, two rooms, a main floor and a chill-out zone. Each has a bar. Ellen closes the chill bar, cashes up, and then brings everything to Napalm.
Napalm?
Nickname. What's a nickname? For Nathan Palmer. The head barman.
Right, so, all the money in the building is all in one place just before closing.
Napalm puts everything in the safe and then we take it to the bank in the morning.
So Bonnie and Clyde hit the club at exactly the right time, exactly the right place, and Helen, who cashes up, has disappeared.
She's not involved. She wouldn't do that. Anyone who works at the club knows how we cash up.
Anyone with a grudge?
No one here, on.
Day at a flat.
So you were a bouncer at the Moon Club?
Yeah, so?
Any particular reason why you left?
Yeah. Owner's an idiot. Lives in some fantasy world where you don't pay people minimum wage. You should check him out.
Right, I'll be sure to do that. When were you last there?
A few weeks ago. Still owes me a month's money.
Did you see Helen Shane when you were there?
Owner reckons you had a bit of a schoolboy crush on Miss Shane. Or was that just another one of his fantasies?
What'd she do, knock you back, dent your pride?
I don't know what you're talking about. The only thing that got dented was her car. She nearly ran me over when I was leaving.
What was she driving?
Persia.
Colour?
Silver. Why?
Already on it.
Matt makes a call. The Moon Club, September 15th, 8:13 a.m.
I'm here just outside the Moon Club in central London.
All right, Ange. Good to see you out and about.
Yeah, I'm off home. Thought I may as well update you on the way.
Right, what do you got?
Silver Peugeot 406, 52 plate, registered to Helen Shane. Description's gone out to all boroughs, but nothing's been found yet.
So, what do we think then? Helen Shane becomes a target. Is it because she's just about to head home and's got an easy getaway car?
Well, if that's the case and they didn't bring their own, then we should be checking the CCTV for the local tube stations. See if we can find out which route Tony and Maggie took to get here.
Unless they did come in a car. Nick's a better one.
I checked the streets nearby and there was a W-registered Toyota down here. Report is stolen by Mrs. Annabelle Scott at midday Tuesday.
Matt and Ronnie approach the car with the uniformed cop.
Flat tyre.
Forensics are sending over a truck to take it back down to the station.
I told the lab boys we couldn't wait.
Twix wrapper, empty vodka bottle. Run.
A clear plastic bag.
Well, no white powder. What do you reckon? Weed, resin?
Yeah, it could be. And a receipt from Novo's News dated yesterday. Cigarette papers, packet fags, two items saying Old St. Louis.
That is tobacco, Old St. Louis. You don't hear of it much these days. My old man used to smoke it. Do us a favour, call the owner of this car, will you please? Find out what state it was in when she last had it, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Because my guessing is she's no pothead. So whoever sold this little lot could give us a description of our killers without the fancy dress masks on.
You any idea how many people buy fags from Nobos? But on the way to a tube station, for God's sake, I can't remember one bloke.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, Ruby. I really, really do. But this is very important. A young woman's life is in real danger and you might be able to help. So just try and think back to yesterday morning and remember something, anything.
I think he had a denim jacket.
Well, yeah, good. That's great. How hard was that? A denim jacket? Or anything you remember about him that he didn't have?
Like what? How can I remember what he didn't have?
Well, like a beard, for instance.
Oh, right, I get it.
Yeah.
There's a photo fit screen in front of them.
And?
What?
Well, did he or did he not have a beard?
He had, like, stubble.
Great stubble.
Ronnie adds stubble to the photo fit.
How's it going? Well, slowly but slowly, you know.
Right, well, forensics pulled loads of prints from the Toyota. One partial, who's not the owner, but not enough for an ID.
When, how's the press conference going?
Yeah, pretty rough on the gov. Press are going crazy, calling it a gun spree. TV crews everywhere. I think Christmas has come early.
We found the Peugeot.
Tellington Estate, Battersea, 11:02 a.m.
Boys, it's just round the corner, the other side of the estate. There's no one in it. I've got plain clothes on both ends and on every side street.
Position? All clear?
For now.
So what are we waiting for?
Well, hang on a minute. They don't know that we've found the car yet.
Oh, time's ticking here. It could be for the prints. Give us an ID.
Yeah, or they could have gone for a cup of coffee. I mean, they might come straight back to us if we wait here for a few minutes.
Well, Helen Shane does what? File her nails?
Oh, bloody news crews, do they never give up?
Not once they smelt blood, no.
Right, we're going to move quick on this before they get any pictures.
They all don purple latex gloves as they approach the Peugeot.
It's not locked.
They check the interior.
Same leftover baccy packet and more vodka.
Maybe one of our killers has a drink problem.
Or needed Dutch courage before they pulled the trigger.
Gav, run.
In the boot.
Helen Shane.
Bound, bloodied and dead. Law and Order UK. Ford Standard.
At Argos, we believe there's a better way to shop online. With over 750 stores, you can pick up your orders straight away. No wonder millions of people every month shop online with Argos. Order online today. Enjoy today.
Being told that your wife...
daughter...
granddad...
has cancer.
I just collapsed.
And I thought... the time I lose you.
But thanks to the work
of Cancer Research UK,
he got better.
Better.
No reports of any other cars stolen where we found the Peugeot.
Well, someone who had their car nicked this morning might not have noticed yet.
Pathologists reckon Helen Shane had only been dead a couple of hours by the time we found her, shot in the back and bled out.
What a way to go. Hello, Brooks.
Forensics found another partial print. Is it good enough?
Yeah, matches the partial we found in the Toyota.
Listen up, everyone. Shut up. Quiet, please. Says her name's Maggie.
As in Thatcher.
Could be. Where are you, love? Can you tell me where you are, please?
Oh, God, he's coming.
Who's coming, love? What's going on?
He's coming back. I've got to go.
What do you reckon it was on, Maggie?
Could be.
Or a crank.
It didn't seem like a crank.
Why didn't you leave us her name, then?
Well, maybe her real name is Maggie.
That's great news. We have a fingerprint match. We know who one of them is. Andy Bishop, 31, ex-serviceman. Decorated during a tour of Iraq 7 years ago, but had difficulty readjusting to civilian life. According to medical reports, he went through an alcohol detox program twice since leaving. Last year, he was done for ABH for a domestic dispute, but he was out 6 months ago. Since then, no known address.
Probation officer?
Yes, he had one, but Andy never showed up for his appointments.
Right, so any known contacts?
His mother suffers from MS. She's living in a home in Essex. Dad's dead.
Who's the domestic with?
His ex-girlfriend, we're trying to track her down. He also has a brother, Sam, who lives in Hackney.
Home of Sam Bishop, 1247.
Help yourself. Look around. Make sure you check out the other six bedrooms, wouldn't you?
Don't they need a warrant for this? Oi, don't you need a warrant for this?
It's a pokey flat.
Do you smoke, Mr. Bishop? Used to. Gave up when the bird got bumped.
The bird?
You sure about that? I have a spliff now and again, you know, just personal use.
And have you seen your brother lately?
I knew this was about Andy. Didn't I tell you this was about Andy?
Have you seen your brother, Mr. Bishop?
Not since he got out of prison. Why?
Why? Did you miss the news this morning? Because we think he's killed four people and then gone on a run with a loaded gun. That's why.
Has he scored since his release?
How would I know?
Because he's a dope head. And the first thing he would have done after getting out of prison is come to see someone who could offer him a toke.
I swear you need a warrant for this. I've seen it on TV.
Unless you've got something useful to say, shut up.
Boy. Don't tell her to shut up.
What are you going
to
do, Sam, eh? Big man in front of his girlfriend.
She, Tina, is heavily pregnant. Sam flops onto the sofa.
Just tell us where your brother is.
I don't know. I swear to God.
OK, what's the name of his dealer?
Why don't you just give us a name, then we'll be on our way and we'll leave you to your domestic bliss.
Or we can continue this conversation down the station, both of you.
Oh, no way. You're having a laugh, ain't you? I ain't going anywhere like this. I need to take a piss every 30 seconds.
Babe, don't.
Don't babe me. Kyle Branning. He gets his gear off Kyle Branning.
A police raid.
Kyle Branning.
Broken blinds let in daylight. Kyle looks spaced out.
You better sit down, son, before you fall down.
Do you supply Andy Bishop?
Who? Andy Bishop, big bloke, about 30. Does he screw his gear from you?
You're going down for a long time, Kyle, with all this stuff here. So the more helpful you are now, the less painful it will be.
How old are you, son?
19.
You ever been in a prison, Kyle?
He shakes his head.
Who was that bloke we nicked, Ron? Big fella, doing 10 years for armed robbery in Ashbridge. He eats nice young boys like you for breakfast.
Oh, no, mate, he don't eat.
Yes,
leaf.
Ron, I think we got the picture.
Right, look. He gets some weed off me sometimes.
Good lad. Anything else?
Kyle drops his head.
Kyle, don't make me play bad cop.
You wouldn't like him when he plays bad cop.
He didn't pay for it.
What, you want to report a theft?
No, look. He said he didn't have no cash, and I said I don't do credit. But then he pulled a gun. 6RP226.
The cops share an impressed look.
What? I like army stuff.
And when was this?
Day before yesterday.
I like army stuff. How do kids like that function in the world?
Well, he doesn't, does he? He's living in a smoke-filled bubble.
Right, well, I better get on the ballistics, find out where the latest army issue knockoffs are being traded.
Hello, Devlin. Another hit on a newsagent, Shoreditch.
You called us here for these two?
I heard on the radio male-female team.
I think we also said they were through puberty.
Look, I called you as soon as he called me.
They were shoplifting. She gets me to reach for something at the back of my shop. While I'm looking the other way, he nicks me fags.
Well, you shouldn't even be smoking.
We don't. They're bad for you. We sell them at school to the year 10s.
And you've got to stop watching The Apprentice.
You're gonna nick him? I want justice.
Not today, Riz. Check next time, yeah?
The uniformed cop sulks a sign in the shop window.
Ronnie?
You sell old St. Louis tobacco.
Yeah, so?
At Sam's.
Hey, what do you think you're doing? We told you already we haven't seen him.
Yeah, you also told us he didn't smoke.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, you see, I can smell tobacco in here, which isn't the smell of a now and again spliff. So, if you're not smoking the tobacco, who is?
It's next door.
I keep telling them to stop, but they won't listen.
Are you serious? How long do you think we've been doing this?
This is harassment. I am pregnant, you know.
We can see that, love, but do you know what I find very strange? It's laundry day and not one item of clothing belonging to you is on these clothes horses. So, where do you live?
What are you talking about?
Because you don't live here, do you?
Matt picks up Tina's wallet from a table.
Brewer Street. 10 minutes walk from here.
Home of Tina Russell, Hackney.
Nobody home.
Empty bottles.
They ran out of booze.
Maybe they went to the office to get some more.
Well, I would have.
We just passed one round the corner.
Right.
Matt, Ronnie and armed cops walk stealthily towards the off-licence. Inside, Andy turns away from the girl at the till. There's a woman in the shop too. Some of the armed cops take aim at a distance.
You up for this?
Oh, yeah.
As they enter, a TV crew pulls up.
Got any bread?
I don't know.
A cameraman gets out of the TV crew's van. Andy looks up at the CCTV screen in the shop and sees the armed cops outside. He turns and sees Ronnie.
All right, Andy, you OK? Just want to talk to you for a minute.
Get on the floor.
Look, take
get
it
get on and the and floor!
And listen to me, Andy, no one wants to shoot anyone here. All right, now it's over. Andy, look at me, son. It's over, mate. Just put the gun down, all right? Let's end this properly. Come on. It's over.
I'm not going back to prison!
Andy, look at me. I don't want you to get shot here, son, and I'm pretty sure you don't really want to shoot me, so let's all just take a breath and calm down.
I was just protecting her!
It's over, mate. Just think about this. You're a war hero, all right? A war hero. Badge of respect, you've been decorated. You don't want it to end drunk in some off-license.
Andy drops. His accomplice has shot him.
Put it down! Put it down! Get on the floor! On the floor!
Matt kicks her gun away.
Thank you so much! Thank you so much!
Okay. It's over. What up we get?
Matt handcuffs her. MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, 6:44 p.m.
Her name's Joanne Vickery, and she's Andy Bishop's ex, but she claims he kidnapped her when he got out of prison.
Any truth in that story?
Well, her nan's in there with her, and she says she hasn't seen her in 6 months.
Jacob and Alicia follow Natalie into an interview room.
I don't understand. My granddaughter's just been rescued. Why are we in a police station?
No, Mrs. Vickery, your granddaughter's just been arrested.
What for? She ain't done nothing wrong.
Joanne, would you tell the CPS what you told me earlier?
Jacob paces. Joanne looks to her lawyer. He nods.
Andy came round my house after he was released, and he said that we was gonna be together. I was really scared because he could lose it. I said to him that I was seeing someone else just to get rid of him. But he went mad and he dragged me back to his car and he said
he used to beat her all the time. That's why he was banged up, for breaking her jaw.
When did you start going out with him?
I was 17.
She was still a kid. She didn't understand what sort of an animal he was. Can I take her home now?
No, Mrs. Vickery. Joanne's being charged with 5 counts of murder.
September 19th.
You're happy with the indictment?
Absolutely. 5 counts of murder, 4 of those on a joint enterprise. We know she shot Andy Bishop. She was holding the smoking gun.
But you're not so sure.
Well, if you buy the kidnap story, shooting Andy Bishop could be argued as manslaughter by virtue of loss of control.
Now we're buying the kidnap story.
Well, according to Joanne's nan, he charmed his way in at 17 and then took control of every part of her life. He's had her emotionally locked away for years.
Hang on a second. We're talking about a woman who carried a loaded gun around the streets of London and watched 4 people murdered without saying or doing a thing.
Yes, watched. That's the joint enterprise. I agree she's guilty of that. She knew what Andy Bishop could do and did nothing to stop him, but
resulting in the deaths of 4 innocent people.
But shooting Andy Bishop could be seen as the end result of domestic violence. That makes it less clear-cut.
Less clear-cut always worries me.
Joanne Vickery did not stab Andy Bishop with a kitchen knife in the bedroom or even beat him with a lead piping in the library. She shot him in an off-license, surrounded by armed police. That's not loss of control. That's a choice.
But would she be walking around with a loaded gun if she didn't know Andy Bishop? If the public start to see her as a victim, you'll struggle to get murder through to a jury.
So we need to make sure that doesn't happen. Time to put away the liberal textbooks.
They leave Henry's office. Office of Phyllis Gladstone, Victoria Place Chambers.
So, Robin, how's your new Batman?
Great. We're a dynamic duo. Rubbish, he's driving you mad. I can see it in your eyes.
Don't worry, you'll fall for him. All his assistants do.
Well, when I see his assistant, I'll tell her.
Phyllis, what do we have to talk about?
Well, I'm guessing that you both missed the first class in law school when they distinguish between the criminal and the victim.
Cute. If Andy Bishop was still with us, I'd happily be prosecuting him as well.
And as he isn't, you're happy putting his victim in the dock instead?
It's murder, Phil. She stood by, holding a gun, and did nothing where 4 people were shot. She deserves to go down for life.
She's not guilty of anything. You should drop all the charges.
Never gonna happen. She was key to the commission of the crime simply by holding a gun and intimidating people.
Joanne was systematically abused by Bishop in a one-sided relationship since she was 17. He dictated who her friends were, where she went, what she did.
This is not a poster girl for the fight against domestic violence. She shot Bishop at point-blank range.
She had no idea the gun was loaded. She was as surprised as everyone else when it went off.
So why did she pull the trigger?
She was nervous, trembling, wanting to get away. There could be 100 reasons.
We're only looking for one.
Her gun was loaded in the Moon Club, the off-license, and all the time she was driving around Hackney. Who knows how many more deaths there may have been if her gun went off somewhere else.
Okay, we have ourselves a ball game. She was not in control of her actions, had not a clue what his intentions were, and was psychologically harmed.
If you're questioning her mental state, she sees our psychiatrist.
Healthcare office, Cold Norton Prison.
All my mum cared about was her next boyfriend. Most of them get bored of her eventually and then they try it on with me. I just wanted someone to protect me.
And Andy did that?
Yeah. I loved him. We used to talk about running away together, flying to Vegas, getting married, but we never did.
And Andy broke your jaw, didn't he?
She nods.
Joanne, why did he hit you?
She's being filmed.
He always did when I'd done something wrong. Drink just made it worse.
Why did you go along to the Moon Club?
I had to. I knew what he could be like when he got angry. I never thought he'd kill no one. At least we was together.
You felt closer to him by doing this?
I thought if I went along with it, he'd come back to me. Like, be the Andy I knew when I first met him. I still loved him.
Did you ever not love him?
Don't think so.
Oh, even when he broke your jaw? Put you in hospital?
No.
Crown Prosecution Service, City of London, September 21st.
I believe she was a willing participant, but not for the reasons we've assumed. She was scared of him, but she also wanted to turn Andy Bishop back into the hero she first went out with.
So she was with him because she still loved him, not because she was terrified for her life?
With their kind of relationship, sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between the two. It's a fine line.
But a line we're on the right side of.
I'm not sure, not without spending a lot more time assessing her.
Well, it's not quite the unequivocal yes I was hoping for.
There's maybe something else. She claims she called the police to warn them.
Well, there was a lot of crying from her. I mean, this place was heaving. Phones were going, people were shouting, you know, that sort of thing.
But did she say anything about Andy Bishop?
I had no idea what she was saying to start with, to be fair. Then she mentioned that her name was Maggie. That got my attention. Then there was a lot more crying. And then she said something along the lines of, he's coming back, I've got to go. Then the phone went dead.
And this was after the press conference when the details of the Blair and Thatcher masks had been revealed?
Yeah.
Was it recorded?
For training purposes. So they say. God knows what anyone could have learned from that, but there you are.
You've tried tracing it?
Yes. We got to a pay-as-you-go number, and that was unregistered.
Were there any other calls like this?
Well, not to me, but then again, I haven't checked all of the call logs, so...
Thank you, Detective Brooks. That's all I need.
You're welcome.
Hammer's supporter?
Yep.
Unlucky.
Ronnie's drinking from a Hammer's mug.
Let's do a bit of digging and see just how many Maggies decided to call the police that morning.
OK, and what if it was Joanne?
Well, if they can't prove it, they can't use it.
Even if we think it was her?
She called herself Maggie.
But that's because she knew how she was being represented on the news.
Or because it wasn't Joanne.
Maybe we should consider taking a plea to manslaughter.
Then the jury could acquit her for everything. I'm not having that.
I'm still not convinced that she's a cold-blooded murderer.
Well, she didn't shoot Andy Bishop by accident.
No, she shot him because she wasn't in control of her actions.
What, that very moment? I just don't believe it.
Look, Jake, just admit it. The jury will think that Joanne's already done our job for us.
So what are you saying? That she wouldn't have done any of this without him?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So, what about Hindley or Maxine Carr? Criminal history is full of women who've been bent and twisted by an abusive partner, but every jury that's faced them has put them away because they all thought the same four words. They had a choice. However tough, they could have said no.
Is there any shade of grey in your world?
Of course there is. On a Saturday night, in the pub, over a pint. But look at what happened. She killed him when she didn't have to. Wrap it up in as much sympathy as you like. That's still murder.
Crown v. Vickery plea and case management hearing.
It is a clear demonstration of remorse. A signal she was trying to escape her captor and bring this terrible tragedy to an end.
Can I ask my learned friend not to refer to Miss Vickery's boyfriend as her captor? They were living together in a relationship.
Whatever I call him, the story remains the same. She was there against her will.
Or was it against her will that they went to the Odeon Cinema on Wednesday the 17th of last month? Or the Slug and Lettuce the week before? I could go on and on.
All at his demand.
My lord, there were 22 calls to the police station that day from people claiming to be Maggie Thatcher. And I can't believe that anyone would willingly claim to be the Thatch unless a little...
Thank you, Mr. Thorne. Let's leave our party political broadcasts for outside, shall we?
I have an expert witness who has provided a statement confirming there is a moderate proposition that the voice on the recording is Joanne Vickery.
I have it here.
And I have an expert witness who has provided a statement confirming there is a moderate proposition that it isn't.
And again.
My lord, The prejudicial value of this phone call gives her story a bias which this court must find unfair. It outweighs the probative value of the
evidence. I entirely disagree. Surely this is a matter for the jury.
Miss Gladstone, I've read both reports, and I have to side with Mr. Thorne here. If it was a crank, it could sway the jury unfairly. I'm ruling that the recording of any calls is inadmissible.
My lord.
Thank you. Unless you have anything further?
No, my lord.
Court will rise.
Alicia comes up to Jacob as he arranges his files. Helen's brother Frank is in the court.
Well done.
Once more with feeling, Miss Phillips.
I'm not naive, Jake. Murder or manslaughter, I know we need the strongest possible case to win.
And do you?
What?
Want to win?
Yes. It's important to him. That makes it important to us.
Spoken like a true public servant.
Shut up and buy me lunch.
Crown v. Vickery, trial day one.
Behind that latex mask is Joanne Vickery. That is not in dispute. Nor is it in dispute that she alone pulled the trigger and fired the gun that killed Andy Bishop. Did she do us all a favor? Some of you may think so, but the truth is this. The law sees what she did as murder, and so too must you. The defense will paint Joanne Vickery as a victim. They will play on your sympathies, tug on your heartstrings. Do not let them cloud your judgment. Do not be influenced by sentiment. The real victims are not able to be here, but their relatives are sat behind me at the back of this court, hoping you will make the right choice. They know she's not a victim. She could have stopped all this from happening. So she is here facing five charges of murder. If you remember nothing else during this trial, remember this. One or more of those innocent victims would still be here today if Joanne had acted sooner. Their deaths are on her hands.
Could you rewind to the front of the clip, please? I will paint Joanne Vickery as a victim. Do you know why? Because that is the real picture. Look at her. Clearly, trembling with fear, out of her depth, frightened, scared for her life, that the man in front of her, who claimed to love her and yet regularly beat her hard enough to send her to hospital, would turn the gun on her. The deaths of four people in the early hours of that tragic day are a heinous crime, and I wish the true criminal could receive just punishment, but that can never happen. Why? Because Andy Bishop is dead.
Joanne stands solemnly in the dock.
My client, after years of being trampled on and destroyed as a person, stood up to an abusive, violent, controlling man. Who knows how many more innocent people she saved by acting as she did, stopping a mad, gun-wielding psychopath in his tracks. Look at her. His most innocent victim.
Joanne is slight. Her long dark hair is pulled back in a ponytail. She shoots a look at Phyllis, who gives her a reassuring look. Night in Henry's plush office, he pours a drink for himself and Jacob.
Are you worried the jury's already siding against you?
He hands Jacob a scotch.
Phyllis fought hard to present her opening speech immediately after mine. I can see why now.
Let's hope losing that little battle didn't cost you the war.
I think Judge Redford wanted to level the playing field after excluding the Maggie phone call.
You pushed for murder when you could have considered a plea to manslaughter.
You slapping my wrist?
I'm double-checking you know what you're doing. This is an extremely high-profile case that we're at risk of losing.
Worried about our reputation?
No. I'm worried about yours. Don't lean on our friendship, Jake. The DPP's told me he's keeping a close eye on you, new kid on the block and all that. If Joanne Vickery is acquitted, you could end up losing a lot more than this case.
I believe she should go down for murder.
But can you win with that?
Yes.
Good. Because you need a few more victories under your belt. Blow this and you could be out on your ear before you've really begun.
Jacob's collar and tie are loosened. He looks down gravely.
Mr. Bishop, would you raise your right hand? Could you turn it around so the jury can see the back? Is that a scar?
Yeah.
How did you get it?
Andy stabbed me with a fork.
Why did you do that?
Because I wouldn't give him the remote.
The remote for the television?
Sam nods.
After he stabbed you in the hand, who looked after the remote in your flat?
Sam lowers his hand.
Andy.
How much do you weigh?
I don't know, 13, 13 half stone.
Any idea how much Miss Vickery weighs?
Please, my lord, relevance of the witness's vital statistics.
I'll tell you, she weighs 7 stone 4 pounds, almost half your weight. Your brother stabs you once and you do whatever he says. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's tearful.
Absolutely. No further questions.
Phyllis flicks a look at Jacob and Alicia and sits down. Crown v. Vickery, Trial Day 8, 19th of October.
Andy seemed like a nice lad at first, always looking out for her.
How did the relationship develop?
They moved in together when she was 19. After that, we saw less and less of her. And when we did, she'd always have a new bruise over her eyes or cuts on her arms.
And when he broke her jaw?
He'd been on a bender. We went to the hospital to see her. You were in such a terrible state. And she swore, never again. He went to prison for it.
Thank you.
Mrs. Vickery, did your granddaughter give evidence at Andy Bishop's ABH trial?
Yes, eventually.
So she stood up to him?
It took us ages to convince her. And still she wasn't happy about it. Terrified at what he'd do if he was let off.
But however hard it was, she still finally stood up to him and helped put him away.
Yes. Fresh start, you said. Away from Andy. She stopped dyeing her hair. She went on a diet. She looked lovely.
Joanne's crying.
She wanted to go back to college, because she left school before she got her exams.
She was suspended, wasn't she?
From one school.
For extended truancy.
She ran away. Said she'd got some work in a club in town somewhere. She was back after a few weeks.
So she didn't hate her life at home that much?
It was her mum. She wouldn't abandon her. She loved her.
Well, like she loved Andy Bishop. I mean, let's be honest. Joanne was never going to get a fresh start, was she, Mrs. Vickery? However much she changed her hairstyle, she was always going to go back to him because she deluded herself that she could change him. Truth is, she would have done anything to prove that she loved him, including helping him with the abduction and murder of an innocent bystander and the cold-blooded shooting of three other members of the public.
I don't think Mrs. Vickery likes you.
That's okay. I'm not paid to be liked.
Good job. Do we have a picture of Joanne Vickery before she had her makeover?
Don't know. Sure we can get hold of one.
The Moon Club, October 19th. Frank studies a photo.
Look, the police showed me this. I'd never seen Joanne before the trial.
You're sure?
We get a lot of staff turnover, Miss Phillips.
It will only have been for a few weeks, about 6 years ago.
Look, believe me, if I could help you, I would. Since Alan... Look, I don't even want to be here. This place, it's all her. I just want to pack a bag and leave, but I can't. Because this place, it's all her. It's all I have left.
Alicia takes a photo out of her clutch bag.
What about this one? It was taken around the time she may have worked here.
It's Joanne with short, spiky blonde hair.
That's the same girl?
Yes. Joanne Vickery. She was 16 at the time.
In their office, Alicia hands Jacob the photo of Joanne with blonde hair. He studies it as Alicia walks over to her desk.
This is really great work.
See this? Pretty face? Me? More than.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Why didn't you take me with you?
To a club.
You haven't seen me on a dance floor. I can throw some shapes.
She looks at him doubtfully. He's deadpan, then smiles.
Let's see how she reacts to this in court.
You seem to be living as a very affectionate couple. Cinema visits, Friday night at the local curry house.
I had to pretend, otherwise it'd really hurt me.
You're that good at pretending?
If you're worried about getting a smack in the mouth, you get pretty good at it, yeah.
Are you pretending now?
Why? Are you gonna smack me in the mouth?
Why did you go with him? Were you excited by the idea?
No. He made me go. I was terrified.
Really? You weren't turned on just a little bit by the power you had when you were with him?
I never wanted him to shoot anyone.
So what did you want?
I just thought he was gonna rob the place.
And how did you feel when he shot Napalm?
I feel sick.
You know who Napalm is?
Yeah, he's the barman.
Yet we've only ever referred to him in this court as Mr. Palmer. Would you care to tell the jury how you know the barman well enough to recognize his nickname?
Joanne looks taken aback.
Did you not work at the Moon Club when you ran away from home 6 years ago? You knew how they cashed up, where they kept the money, didn't you? Miss Vickery, you are under oath.
Yes, yeah. I worked there for about 3 weeks.
Why were you fired?
I wasn't fired.
Didn't Mr. Palmer discover your real age and have you fired?
He didn't fire me. I ran away.
Back home?
Yes.
But you just ran away from home. I don't understand.
She wrings her hands.
Me and Napalm went out for a bit, but he dumped me after we, you know.
After you slept together?
He told me he loved me, then he just ignored me. I wanted to keep on seeing him, but he said if I didn't leave him alone, he'd tell the boss my real age.
Frank sits listening.
You told Andy Bishop, didn't you? You told Andy what Nathan Palmer had done. When did you tell him?
We was having an argument. Andy always thought that he was my first.
Phyllis reaches for a file.
I wanted to hurt him, so I told him he wasn't. I told him about Napalm, about Nathan.
Miss Vickery, when did you tell Andy this story?
The night before it all kicked off. I only thought he was gonna scare him, I swear.
And that's what you wanted, wasn't it? To get your own back on an ex-boyfriend for hurting you all those years ago, you told a dangerous, violent man about your first sexual partner because you wanted to hurt him. You knew what he would do when you told him the story about the Moon Club, didn't you? You knew he'd react like this. None of those people would have been murdered if you hadn't lit the fuse.
Joanne meets his gaze, her eyes glisten with tears.
No further questions.
In defense chambers.
Last chance before the closing speeches. Drop the murder counts and we'll plead to manslaughter.
You still think you have a case left after that?
God, Jacob, hasn't she suffered enough? Why does she have to go to prison for life?
She knew how dangerous Andy Bishop could be, but she didn't think twice about using Nathan Palmer's name as leverage during a domestic.
She didn't know he was going to kill him.
Yes, she did. Or at least she knew he'd try. She wanted to punish all the men in her life who'd caused her pain. I can understand that. She saw her opportunity and she took it, but she didn't care how many Helen Shanes or Claire Bayous got in the way. To her, they were just collateral damage.
Trial day 11, October 24th.
Members of the jury, in relation to count one on the indictment alleging the murder of Helen Shane, do you find the defendant, Joanne Vickery, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Frank looks relieved.
In relation to count two, on the indictment alleging the murder of Nathan Palmer, do you find the defendant, Joanne Vickery, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
J. Joanne stands staring out from the dock, her clenched hands resting on the rail. Night, Alicia enters the office.
Phyllis is not letting this one go. She's getting a whole new psych evaluation done. A file this thick to put forward in mitigation.
You don't have to fight it if you don't want to.
Let one of the juniors step up, that's how I learn.
No. I do want to. Helen. Claire. Armin. Nathan. All of them had lives left to lead. What a waste.
Jake, we won the case. Move on.
What, like Frank Shane? Sometimes just winning isn't enough.
The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. IGFC audio description.